yours is a voice of criticism we don't often hear in the United States. Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then there are anti-Semitic.
We're curious because we're occupiers.
No, we're not occupiers. That's the same anti-Semitic argument we've heard over and over again.
Look, Larry, I'd like to respond to some of these points that are being made. All right, let's go back to Shiloh. We don't even need to get into that.
And in fact, of course, the bombing of Yemen goes back way before the last few weeks. It was we've had drone strikes and everything in Yemen over the past 4 or 5 years.
Oh, right, in connection with the Lackawanna 6 and all
right,
that.
Right, there have been a number of attacks, and most of which were we did not accredit them to us, but now, of course, we are. And yeah, but it's you know, it's always the same story. Don't we ever get it that if you're messing around in these other places and you're killing people in these other places, there are people that are going to try to get even. I don't know. Scott, it's hopeless the way these things play out, at least in my mind.
Well, you think the people that run the CIA Counterterrorism Center are as stupid as the people who cover these issues on TV? Because, you know, I saw Ron Paul say to Larry King last night, look, man, we bomb them, then they bomb us back. History didn't begin on September 11th. It didn't begin on Christmas Eve. It began way back in the day, and America's been bombing the Middle East in general, supporting their dictators, et cetera, et cetera. We started it, and now we have trouble. They're terrorists because we occupy them, he said. And Larry King and Ben Stein and Sheila Jackson Lee looked at Ron Paul like they couldn't even understand what he was saying. They were like, oh, what do you mean America started it? That, huh?
Well, Ben Stein called Ron Paul an anti-Semite.
Right, even though he didn't mention that, you know, Osama bin Laden and Mohammed Atta both said that the reason they did it is American support for Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't even mention that part of it at all. He didn't say anything about Israel at all.
Well, this is the whole point. I mean, if you control the narrative, you control the narrative in such a way as to make it say what you want. And Ron Paul is saying, no, this is not what the narrative is. There's a much bigger narrative out there, a much bigger story. And, of course, he's absolutely right.
Michael Scheuer founded the CIA's Counterterrorist Center, the Bin Laden Unit, in 1996.
We haven't progressed very far since 9/11. We're fighting an enemy that basically doesn't exist. The American people for the last four presidents, including our latest president, our now president, continue to tell Americans that we're fighting an enemy that's motivated by hatred for our freedoms and our liberties, women in the workplace, liquor after the workday, and is so therefore a fanatic, limited number of folks. Nothing could be further from the truth.
What are they motivated by?
They're motivated by the impact of our foreign policy, particularly our support for tyranny. We've just reinforced the status of the Yemeni dictator, for example. We support the police state that governs Saudi Arabia, that governs Jordan, that governs Egypt and Algeria. We give unqualified support to the Israelis in terms of money and armaments. These are the motivations of the enemy. And it's what our politicians want you to believe, that we're being attacked because we have women in the workplace and primary elections every 4 years for the presidency. If we were being attacked by people with those grievances, they wouldn't even rise to the level of a lethal nuisance. The politicians don't want to talk about the impact of our support for Israel. They don't want to talk about their abject failure in doing anything about energy self-sufficiency over the past 40 years. They don't want to tell us that our sons and daughters are dying in order to support tyrannies in places like Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Algeria. Until we start to talk about those things, we are fighting an enemy, as I said, that doesn't exist. This is a very precise enemy. There is no evidence, at least in the corpus of materials from Osama bin Laden and Ayman Zawahiri, that they're extremely angry and ready to blow themselves up because we have McDonald's and Budweiser. That's a nonsense argument, but it's the basic argument given to us by our last four presidents.
I'm interested in the question of motivation of these hijackers. My question is really directed to the agents. But what have you found out about why these men did what they did? What motivated them to do it?
I believe they feel a sense of outrage against the United States. They identify with the Palestinian problem. They identify with people who oppose repressive regimes. And I believe they tend to focus their anger on the United States.
Why don't we talk about that? Because IPAC and other influential American Jewish groups are extraordinarily involved in the funding of American political campaigns and have the ability to reach out and make sure that people lose their jobs or are otherwise hurt if they dare to criticize Israel. I lost a job last year simply because I said that I suspected Mr. Obama would maintain traditional U.S. policy toward Israel, and that cost me a job that was both a position and a salary.
Where was the job?
At the Jamestown Foundation. I was a writer there. I published an article every 2 weeks, and I said just kind of flippantly at one of their conferences that I thought Obama doing the what I called the Tel Aviv two-step doing the during the presidential election campaign to get closer to the Israeli lobby meant that he wouldn't change policy toward Israel, and that was enough to have the donors to that foundation indicate that I should be terminated.
Well, one of the big problems is, and here goes the grenade, Israel. The second you mention the word Israel, the nation Israel, the concept Israel, many in the American press become very defensive. We're not allowed to be highly critical of the state of Israel. And the other thing we're not allowed to do is discuss the notion that Israel and the notion of Israeli interests may in fact be dictating what America is doing. That what we're doing in the Middle East may not be to the benefit of America's national security, but to Israel's national security. But see, we don't want to talk about that because one of the great success stories out there is the pro-Israeli lobby that has successfully enabled themselves to blend the two together so that when we speak of Israeli interests, they say, no, we're speaking of American interests.
He's strong and has a lot of money, and the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay, they are talented people and they have power, money and media and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism. And it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people, and that justifies everything we do to the Palestinians.